This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Have you ever felt strangely lightheaded, foggy, or even a bit off and thought, what on earth is going on with me? Now imagine blowing over the limit on a breath test and without touching a drop of alcohol. It sounds unbelievable, but it's real.
Dr. Vincent Ho, the gut doctor on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Dr. Vincent Ho.
Hi, Warren.
Now, what actually happens inside the body with this auto-brewery syndrome? How does our gut end up producing alcohol?
So this is a fascinating syndrome called auto-brewery syndrome, and this is where alcohol itself is fermented from it's fermented by a particular bacteria we know now. When someone's ingesting predominantly carbohydrates. So what happens here is that in a similar way to how alcohol is fermented, and alcohol can cause, of course, all the symptoms that you mentioned, dizziness, slurred speech, etc. People that consume with this syndrome, when they consume carbohydrates, they get exactly the same symptoms as someone would from getting drunk with alcohol.
How intoxicated?
Pretty incredible.
How intoxicated can they get from this?
They can actually blow the alcohol limit. And in fact, this is why this condition, although it's very rare, it is an important one because, as you can imagine, it's got quite significant social consequences. Mm. I mean, people, they come across as drunk. They've got the classical symptoms, dizziness, disorientation, impaired motor skills. You can imagine the consequences of that. And these people may not have touched any alcohol at all.
What, in terms of the bacteria that causes this, is it something that someone contracts or is it something that we're born with? What, or do we all have this, but it's only triggered under certain circumstances? Where do we get the bacteria from?
So for a long time, this condition was thought to be caused by yeast or fungus, mainly candida species within the gut. So for a long time, it was thought that was what was driving it. And in fact, this condition has been described back to the 1940s when there was a case of a young boy, five-year-old boy, and they found a very sad case, but they found when he had a stomach rupture, and when they looked inside the stomach, they found there was alcohol there, and that was after eating some potato. So it was there. After that case, there were many other cases of this auto-brewery syndrome that had been reported in literature, but it was only until this year, Warren, that the researchers found there's actually bacteria, not so much fungus, but bacteria that's a driver of this, and a particular type of bacteria called Klebsiella pneumonia. So it's Klebsiella in particular that's a main driver. What's really interesting about this is that a lot of people, healthy people, can have Klebsiella in their gut without any problems. But the people that have auto-brewery syndrome, they have a particular strain of Klebsiella that's known to produce a lot of alcohol. And that was what was found in all the research that was carried out, that in some cases high enough that it could cause, it could lead to, people blowing the limit.
Dr. Vincent Ho, what happens if someone sort of presents at your clinic with this condition? How do you treat them?
So this is really tricky because you can imagine that it's an uncommon, very uncommon condition. And generally people not believed even by many of their doctors when they insist they're not drinking. So I think what's really important is we need to actually confirm this syndrome by doing the testing. Now, in order to do the test, to do it properly, people actually have to abstain, of course. I mean, if you take an alcohol history, abstain from any alcohol for at least, 48 hours before the test. And then they usually have a confinement study. So they basically come into hospital, Warren, where you do some measurements, you measure their initial blood alcohol levels, And then you give them an oral carbohydrate load, so anywhere from about 100 to 200 grams of glucose, and you measure their blood alcohol concentration after that. So they're in hospital, you measure it maybe 30 minutes after eating, an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, and then you just watch the blood concentration and see what happens. And if the test comes back, you know, positive with a steep rise in the blood alcohol concentration, then that does indeed confirm it. Now, what's interesting, Warren, too, is that some people who may be listening to this, and if you're someone who's wondering about whether you might have this problem, I think there's a kind of an informal test you can kind of do. And that is, if you have access to a alcohol breathalyzer, Warren, you can use that, as kind of a good test, so you can have it, eat some oral carbs. You can use your breathalyzer and see what happens. But I think that gives you an idea. But to do the test properly, you do need to be confined in hospital, because we need to make sure absolutely that there is absolutely no alcohol being consumed.
Dr. Vincent Ho, I imagine that this could be incredibly distressing. I mean, imagine if, you know, people don't believe you that I haven't had a drop of alcohol, but you're drunk. You can just, oh, yeah, sure. Like, they'd be just doubting you. I think it could be very distressing.
Exactly. And I mean, people have described losing their jobs as a consequence of, you know, looking like they're drunk when they haven't touched any alcohol. You can imagine what would happen with driving. So, you know, you've not consumed any alcohol, but then, you know, the breathalyzer tests have come back positive. And so you can imagine that it's a massive issue. So there's a lot of social, consequences from this particular condition. Fortunately, it's very uncommon. But if there is, you know, anyone listening who's adamant that they get these symptoms without consuming a drop of alcohol, then I would suggest that it's worth getting this tested.
Dr. Vincent Ho, more broadly, what does this condition tell us about how powerful and complex our gut microbiome really is?
Yeah, well, this is why this is such an intriguing area, because we realize that these Klebsiella strains that produce alcohol themselves, you know, they are, you know, that these strains themselves are present in people with Autobrewery syndrome, of course, but also we can get the same strains in people that are otherwise healthy. So why is it that people with Autobrewery syndrome, what is it about them in particular that makes the Klebsiella, for example, lead to in symptoms within them and not with other people who may have the Klebsiella? So this is why this is really intriguing. Are there other bacteria at work that also, you know, interact with those patients that have Autobrewery syndrome? This is where there's so much that we don't know yet about the microbiome, but we're learning more about it. We are learning more about it all the time. So it's a fascinating field. And I think we'll know much more about it in years to come.
Dr. Vincent Ho, another fascinating chat. As always, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's an absolute pleasure, Warren.
Thank you. Dr. Vincent Ho, gastroenterologist and senior lecturer at Western Sydney University. You can check out his socials and follow him for more gut health insights.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.